So that's an extremely ambitious title. Probably some assistant professor trying to look for a little bit of getting a little bit of interaction with the crowd, maybe. I'm not sure. You know, when I moderated a session this morning, and one of my duties was to tell people not to take pictures of the speaker, but they never said anything about the speaker taking pictures of the audience. So that's kind of leading into this whole blogging and tweeting and what we're doing with information and generating content. Because I think that's what we're really talking about is this idea of data and content, and what do we do with it, and where does it go, and who uses it, and how do we measure impact with that type of data. So I don't have any extension appointment yet. Most of what I do is applied IPM. So I'm trying to find ways of producing tools that, at the end of the day, I'm interested in the biology of, but I also want to find the angle of application. And that's a lot... That's a lot harder than it sounds, basically, because the more you know about the system, the more complicated it becomes. And then for my system, which is soybean aphid, we expect them to be applied aphid ecologists, because now they have to take 5 different publications and put these algorithms together to produce an output of what do I do next. And so I think where we're at with technology is that we can start to harness a lot of these resources, and the way we look at the web is not going to the web, but really the web is coming to us. So the way we're thinking about how we use this internet has, in my opinion, really has to change. And so I use this stuff in teaching a lot. This is an example of walking down the aisle at a Walmart. And I know you all have problems controlling your monarch caterpillars, right? So you might want a product for it. Underneath the caterpillar, you see it controls monarchs. So again, we're always walking around, and the way we experience the world is changing. I have two devices that I'm testing products on, and now I just took a picture of you, and why would he do something like that? And we're hoping that technology works, doesn't fail me. But what we're doing is really interacting with our environment, and probably didn't go through, right? Well, because it's sitting right there. Yeah, done. We'll come back to this. So here's another kind of take-home message. It's okay to explore with these tools. It's okay to figure out where things don't really work, but you don't really know that until you start to try it. And let's see, publish. So things that I use for teaching, Blogspot works for me because it's free. Twitter I used to use for students to do clear and muddy points for lectures, so if they had problems with understanding content, they'd say this was a muddy point, but then that gets shared with everybody. And so I can answer questions and kind of interact with them that way. When I started thinking about this in the context of extension, to me it had to go a little bit more than just speaking out. And so kind of my take-home message is, yes, we need to find new ways of connecting to these technologies to speak out, but we need to listen too. We need to listen too, right? There's got to be this exchange of information almost. And I'm not going to go there yet. We'll come back to that. So how do we really change extension in a single tweet? We don't have enough time to really get into that. But the idea is that this has to be a true information exchange, that we're providing them some really valuable resources, but at the same time, for those resources to become more interactive and better predictive, or more predictive, especially as a researcher, I need data back. So there's some really good projects that are doing this with citizen scientists, where I think we can really learn from bringing it into an agricultural setting is how do we accelerate this information exchange, really from a plant biosecurity aspect. So they're out in their field, they're walking around, and they're not seeing anything. That's a big zero. Well, those zeros really mean something when we're talking about movement of invasive species from one state to the next, one county to the next. Those zeros are really important, yet we're giving them zero credit, right? We're not really connecting to them that way. So what I'm really going to be talking about is how do we take some of this content that we're kind of creating and saying, hey, we've got a binomial sequential sampling plan for soybean aphid. It's going to help you manage soybean aphid in your soybean to say, this is what I need to treat. But there's a lot of information that we as researchers, as extension educators can say, where do we need to go with this next? How do we make this more interactive? And really, this is kind of rethinking how we do this information delivery system. So typically, at least this is my interpretation of it, we're going from this kind of top down, where research is really focused on the research, allowing extension to take that interaction and really take it to the next level, which is the scout to the grower. Where I really see this needing to go is we need to go to the actual field level to be doing a lot of this interaction. And that's where I think the power of the social media and the tools can really allow us to do this in a really effective way. What we need to be thinking about, what are these tools going to look like? Do they need to be an app? I mean, I know we're pushing towards these apps, but what I'm going to kind of demonstrate is apps for me and what we're looking at with speed scouting. And I don't know if anybody saw the video last night, but this idea of going paperless with this form that we're giving growers to make a decision, how much more information we can actually get back by putting it online, making it more interactive. So what I kind of want to avoid is taking these paper forms and hoping they become apps, but without a shared database, in my opinion, they really become the same thing. It becomes a really fancy piece of paper that gets stored on your phone that doesn't get shared with anybody. So what we need to do is be thinking about how do we start building these integrations. That's why I really like Joe LaForce's talk. Sorry if you missed it, but he really is talking about this leveraging and building the right tools. And really, we're getting to the point where we really need to be thinking about this integration of systems. We need to be building smarter systems. And how do we do that successfully? So this little app that I'm developing, after listening to Joe for 20 minutes, my mind is already exploded going, wow, we can already be connecting to these resources that already exist. So this idea that every single university needs to create their own wheel does not make sense to me. How do we then bridge those gaps to come together to say, here's a huge problem we need to solve, how are we going to do it? And my take on it is you got to go back to the grower. Who's going to be creating the most content? All data is not created equal, but all data is good data. In some respect, you got to think about where you need to use it, where it's good data. How they're using the tool, that's good data. Is it going to be used in, developing a model? Probably not. Is it going to be used to validate a model? Absolutely. So data is data. Where we're using it depends on how good it is. So really what I want to kind of briefly go through this next few slides. How am I on time? 4 or 5 minutes. Hey, all right. So real briefly, because you have access to this. So what I want you to really be thinking about is the user experience. And that's why I'm not going to go too much into detail about this, but just kind of going, I'm a grower, I'm a scout, I want to get onto the soy pod and see what I can do. Well, first of all, we need to create an account. Once we've done that, we can enter our username and password. But here's the ticket. They're a defined user in this site. They have an entity in this. They have a share in it. I can't do that in a speed scouting sheet. That's theirs. There's none of the sharing of building a community. So we're talking about social networking. That's the social aspect. You're building a community. So logging in, we're a new user. We don't have a field. We start adding field data, our field parameters we want to put in. But then we go, okay, how much of this do we really want to make mandatory? Because they might get really annoyed after question 3. So again, being willing to give up some of that information that we think is so darn important that they don't want to give you. So again, you start building that trust with the end user going, hey, I want you to participate, but I'm not going to bludge you to death with all these details. Hey, that's why Facebook works so well. Huh? 500 million users, how much of that is required? Think about it. The people who create the content drive the system. This is how we need to be approaching these types of tools, is that we don't take ownership in this anymore. This has to be the stakeholders, period. We're participating in this effort, but it really has to be theirs. So we can create an account. Now it's telling us more information. We provide a little bit more information, now we get a lot back. Now we can see a last decision. That means I haven't sampled it yet. But maybe I want to map it first. And so I dig down into find my field, and now there's GPS that is actually attached to the pointer. Is that going to work? So actually attached to that field. So again, we're just starting to go through how do we play around with the site as a grower, but it's connecting to a lot of things as a researcher. I go, oh, if you please give me that data, and I can start doing some niche modeling, some other things that actually go in the background. Again, we can start to add more fields so that their content, their contribution is not limited. So they are taking ownership in the content that's being created. And so this is the form that we gave them. Aaron Hodson did an awesome job putting this thing together, did a lot of research on it. But, I mean, This will take you a little bit of time to figure out what all this stuff means, but you can read through it. But it's yes or no. So now we're kind of getting into the tools part of this, of surveying the crop, coming up with a management decision of what should I treat or not. And that's simply a tally threshold of 40 or more. And so if we really focus on that one question, and then I'll go back to our app, we just keep asking it over and over again. It's because they're comfortable with that tally threshold. And so finally, again, it brings us to a treatment decision that they didn't have to calculate. The only thing they had to give us was how many were on that plant, yes or no. And the cool part is they might have seen some other things, and we make that process even easy. So actually, I think I saw a Japanese beetle. When I click on it, it shows me what a Japanese beetle should look like. Is that what I really saw? At this point, I don't think it matters because it doesn't get shared with anybody other than a researcher going, what are they really looking at? Are they actually seeing what they're looking at? I mean, is that really a Japanese beetle? We start to put this into a map. We start looking at this thing going, there's a lot of this happening within the northeast part of Kansas. So is this thing spreading? So again, this is the transition of people coming to us, now us going to where the data is being created. You can upload images. You can actually resort by this resampling interval. So again, it tells you when you need to be resampling. It gives you a map of the fields. If you click on that, it tells you what the last decision was. We're actually working on the next step, which is telling you, being able to sort out the data, showing which fields need to be treated. But this is kind of getting back to what I think an underlying message to this is, what are these impacts? And so for me, looking at it from the standpoint of, do I create an app only with just a local database, or something that actually connects to a cloud, this larger server idea where there's a community, I can now start to measure a lot more things. So when I write that next grant, I have a little bit more justification about what's being used, how many acres, et cetera, et cetera. So this really has to become not just our data, but the user data and this interaction between those two, which is really going to be more about integration, participation, and management. Because there's a lot more going on than just pests. Right? Beneficials, ecosystem services, all that has some context of landscape to it. But guess what? We need data. We need where most of the data is being generated. So is this something new? Absolutely not. Perry Holden, 1910, germination test, going in boxcars to the people where they were to give them information. How is that any different than what I've been describing for the last probably 22 minutes? Sorry about that. But this is the idea. This is where social media, we've always done this. It's nothing new. This transformation of going with the technology to where the people are to help them make a management decision is what extension does. Now, how fast we accelerate that process to get where we need to go is really where this community here and beyond really need to be thinking about in context of content generation, right? Where's that content going to go? Who's going to do it? Speak out, listen to. And just a little side note, this whole idea that this younger generation is really connecting to these technologies, we need to be proceeding with that with caution, I believe. Because my students, when I use this Twitter and stuff in the class, they hate it. They hate it. I kid you not. It's embarrassing. I don't want to use Twitter. Yet I can show them how to use a speed scouting form if they hashtag it, and all of them hashtag it. They just share data, and it costs them a thing. And all of a sudden they go, oh, okay. Oh, see that. Right, but this idea that this has to change. And the way we do it is really coming together and saying, where are our weaknesses and how do we move forward? So I really want to thank Aaron for promoting this a lot. And Claudio, actually, Rithon from University of Wisconsin, used the beta version, which is this is now version 1. So if you want to create an account, start using it, playing around with it, I'd be happy to approve your account. So with that, I'm sure I've ran out of time, but I just get so excited about these things. My apologies. And I'll take any questions if there's time for it. Yeah, sorry about that. So it's right now it's not an app. We're developing a Droid app, but the whole idea is this can go on either one. And from start to finish with this one, we use Drupal. So we chose 7,000 modules. I put a graduate student that didn't know Drupal on it. And within 3 months' time, we had a product that can do all that. And so the idea is if you could put it on iPod, you don't even need connectivity to it as long as we're doing the database between the iPod and the server correctly. So again, thinking about how can we make this cost effective. All right, thank you.